Going Linux, episode 170, listener feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
In today's episode, listener feedback. But first, for full disclosure, Larry and Bill and I have had some scheduling conflicts, so we couldn't all be here at the same time to record this. And actually, Larry's not here either, but in editing, he's going to insert himself through the magic of podcasting. And also, we're running tachyon particles through the deflector shield, so that'll help.
Today's episode of Going Linux is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with over 75,000 titles. If you are a regular listener, you already know that we have a special URL that lets you get a free audiobook from Audible when you sign up for a 14-day free trial. Whether you are a regular listener or a new listener, if you haven't signed up, the place to go to get your free audiobook and 14-day trial is www.audiblepodcast.com/goinglinux. There is currently no Audible player that runs natively in Linux, so before you sign up, please make sure that you can run the player under Wine or that you have a portable device like an Android or other smartphone that can run the Audible player. Again, that URL is www.audiblepodcast.com/goinglinux.
So, without further ado, I'm going to go to our first email, and it's from Bob. And Bob wrote, "Hi, Larry, Tom, and Bill." Hi, Bob. "I've been a listener from the early days and enjoy your shows. I've been doing some catch-up after a rather busy 2 months, and got to listen to episode 167 today. I was happy to hear Bill mention his delight with PC Linux OS. I stumbled on PC Linux OS about 6 years ago while experimenting with numerous live CDs. PC Linux OX just seemed to fit. It worked out of the box, has a great community, and I absolutely love the rolling release approach. I'm not doing the 6-month upgrade, with a prayer, or reinstall shuffle. The distro is not always the cutting edge, it's the stable edge. The devs don't release new packages on a schedule, they release them when they are ready to be released. On the other hand, we often have the latest release of Firefox or LibreOffice the day after it comes out. Along with my single boot desktop, I'm actually running the full KDE version on an old EEE PC900 netbook with zero problems. Okay, it has 2 GB of RAM, so that helps, but a 900 MHz processor. The graphics chip on that netbook doesn't allow me to have full KWin effects, but hey, it's a netbook. Hang in there with PC Linux OS, enjoy the ride, maybe try the various community flavors. Thanks, Larry, Tom, and Bill." Well, thank you, Bob. And as I understand it, Bill is currently in his 5th or 6th week straight of running one distribution, PC Linux OS, and he's loving it. And he also mentioned the rolling releases, which he likes. Okay, well, our next email is from Dogflap. Nice name there, Dogflap. He says, "Dear Larry Bushy, Tom Chaudoir, and Bill Smith," and then in parentheses, "can I also call you BLT? Well, hi, Dogflap." He goes on to say, "I know it's a bit late, but I was replaying episode 167, and in particular, the email within an email from Jim. Within it, Jim asks about distribution support for a V92 modem, in parentheses, 56K modems. This made me think of Puppy. I know from a year or two back that Puppy was proud of the dial-up modem support it provides, including WIN modems. I have not tried Puppy lately, but I suspect this would still be worth a try. I could never get Puppy, Live CD, to install on a hard drive. No one else in the forum seemed to have this problem, so I never used it very much, and never on dial-up. Puppy is a good choice anyway because it works well and fast on old hardware with low-power CPU graphics, which is the case here. Just which of the many flavors of Puppy to choose, I do not know. But the forums would bend over backwards to try and help you if you just ask. I hope this helps. Best regards, Dogflap. Well, thanks, Dogflap. That is a good suggestion. I tried Puppy Linux, years and years ago. And it was light and it was fast, and I don't remember why, but I didn't like it. I think just because I was spoiled. And next up, Grizzly wrote, "Hi, Larry, Tom, and CEM Bill." Hi, Grizzly. Okay, I left a rather poor voicemail. Feel free to delete that. Okay, Grizzly, you know what I think? I remember that, and not a word was understandable. It was a very, very poor connection. So, sorry about that. We didn't get it. However, it did sound spooky. Could be used for a haunted house. Anyway, Grizzly goes on to say, "I'm not much good with leaving those. Always get frustrated. But yeah, I've been a Linux user since 1997. Or was it 6? So it's been more than the 12 years that I said in the voicemail. 15 or 16 is more like it. But I still enjoy your podcast as I am interested in Linux advocacy. I've converted a brother-in-law or two and others. Okay, to the point, love your show, but the cinnamon you recommended really sucked. I hated it. Back to Unity now, which in my opinion is superior to GNOME Shell and Cinnamon, though I do run Perl Panel so as to have a taskbar. I cannot live without that. Also, with the pronunciation of GNOME, it should be said with a silent G. Even if RMS says it the other way, well, he's a great man, but he has flaws and blind spots. Don't let him or anyone else fool you. GNOME is one of those English words like night, which has a silent letter. So do make yourself look uneducated, but saying GNOME is just so wrong." Okay, Grizzly, I'm going to have to argue with you here. We've talked about this a few times, and I don't care. Sometimes I've said GNOME, sometimes I say GNOME, and some people have problems with that. So I finally decided to look into it a little bit, and I went to YouTube and listened to some famous people talk, not just RMS. How about Mark Shuttleworth? Now, there's an educated guy. He's behind Canonical and Ubuntu and pretty much one of the most informed people in the field, and the guy says GNOME. John O'Bacon says GNOME. The board of directors of the GNOME Foundation say GNOME. So, alright, it rubs a few people the wrong way, but I've got to go with all those smart people and say GNOME, and that's what I'm going to do from now on. And Grizzly, I apologize. Now, continuing, this has got to be the Linux distribution that would not die. Matt commented on Larry's mention of Hannah Montana Linux on Computer America. "I was listening to the Going Linux podcast number 169. I found an online resource that I was able to reach. I could not find the reference to the Linux RM command in any of the lyrics of her songs." And I have to say, this is Tom now, I agree with that. I went back and looked for it, and part of the lyrics at one time contained an RM command that would wipe your hard drive. And now the song is still there, but that line is gone, and that's a good thing. But we did warn people against doing that. It was just nasty. And next up, an email from Joe, who writes, "I have an odd problem. I have a system that I built myself with an Asus motherboard, 4 gigs RAM, ATI card, triple-core AMD processor that multi-boots Linux Mint 12 with Cinnamon, Mageia 1 KDE, and Windows XP. Editor's note, I said Mageia, I might have said that wrong. M-A-G-E-I-A seems to be a distribution I've never heard of. But to continue, that third operating system, which I have to use at work, unfortunately, is used only to play Scrim and run Office PowerPoint 2010, which, sorry to say, the open source alternatives have not worked out for me yet. This PC build has always been very finicky in XP for some reason, but right now it is working reasonably well. It runs both Linux distros very well, in fact, much better and more stable than when it runs Windows. I use a Belkin N wireless USB adapter to connect to my network. That's RT2870. I'm very pleased with the performance of this adapter in Linux. The issue here is that after I use it in Linux and reboot into XP, the wireless adapter will not be detected at all until I remove it and plug it back in on the USB port, and connection quickly follows. This never happens after it's shut down after a Windows session and going back into a Windows session. Only occurs after using Linux and rebooting into Windows. It happens both immediately and after waiting overnight after using Linux. The adapter is always detected immediately by Linux, no matter what I have used before. Googling about this has not so far turned up any useful information about this. Thanks and keep up the good work. Joe. Well, Joe, it sounds like you already have a workaround for it. And the next thing that I would do is wait. If there's a kernel problem, the next version of the kernel might fix the bug. But it's kind of a small bug. I think it's something you can live with. Just unplugging the silly thing and plugging it back in, or not running that other operating system at all. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that. Next up, Kesset gave us a topic suggestion. Hello, BLT. Okay, there's another guy calling us BLT. I guess that's going to stick. How about a show on Linux sound and or multimedia? Interested to see what's added and what works and what's broken when 12.04 comes out. I loaded 11.10 and the sound recorder stops working. Sigh. Yeah, Kesset, I'm not going to be doing any reviews on 12.04. I'm still way back in the past on 10.04, believe it or not. So if there are some bugs, once again, as I just said to Joe, they'll probably be worked out. And the sound recorder has always been pretty junky anyway. Why not just use Audacity? All right, well, moving along, our next story is from Jonathan, and he's got a Gone Linux story for us. Jonathan says, Hi, Larry, Tom, and Bill. Hi, Jonathan. I love the show. Great job all around. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you. I've been listening for a while and wanted to share my Gone Linux story as well as a distribution plug. Having dual-booted Windows and various distributions of Linux on my laptop over the years, I found myself using Windows less and less, mainly for games, iTunes, etc. I had tried Ubuntu and liked it until either 10.04 or 10.10, when several desktop features did not dependably work. At that point, I went to Linux Mint 11 for about a year. I liked it all around, but with the recent adoption of GNOME 3 and the Mint workarounds of Mate and Cinnamon, I found that I needed to look for something new. My computer is rather dated, circa 2003, and will not run GNOME 3 Cinnamon, not to mention Unity, and I don't really care for Mate. I also tried LXDE and XFCE, and while good options, I really wasn't taken with them. So I was sort of at a loss until I ran across a distro called Fuduntu on DistroWatch. Wow, I was blown away. It is designed with older computers and laptops, netbooks in mind, which is why I tried it. Here's why I was impressed. Booting from the live CD, my Wi-Fi worked right away. I have never been able to use my Wi-Fi card from a live CD. The interface is very polished, It is actually based on Ubuntu-like implementation of GNOME 2. Actually, Fuduntu is a Fedora fork, so the name refers to the distro's roots and its similarity to Ubuntu. The packages installed were ideal for my use. Chromium instead of Firefox, and links for Gmail, Google Docs, instead of a mail client, and Office Suite. It had the Dropbox repository installed by default, and it also comes with Adobe Flash Player and MP3 codecs installed out of the box. It also comes with an applet called Jupyter, which provides detailed control over power settings and will dynamically tune the kernel and such in order to maximize battery life. Fuduntu is a rolling distribution, but not based on a testing repository such as LMDE is. There are a few downsides of the distro, which I'm going to overlook in my case. They have their own repositories, which are growing larger every day and not as complete as those of mainline distributions such as Ubuntu, Debian, or Fedora. They also just recently moved the repositories from SourceForge to a system of dynamic mirrors, but when I installed the latest ISO image, I had to troubleshoot the problem where my computer could not find the repository URLs. I found it to be a simple fix, but a little inconvenient. Some other downsides are no Synaptic Package Manager or apt-get, since it is not Ubuntu-based, and no sudo install. This is actually a plus for me because it gives me a reason to learn more about Linux. As of now, GNOME 2 is the only desktop environment it supports, which is great for a large number of GNOME 2 lovers, but not so great for people that like to try out other desktops. I was so impressed with this desktop that I immediately installed it over the top of Linux Mint and Windows. It is 100% Linux for me from here on out. I definitely recommend giving this distro a try. Maybe Bill would like to try it when he gets bored with his current distro. Thanks for your podcast and your help to new Linux users everywhere. Jonathan from Grand Rapids. Well, thanks, Jonathan. Sounds like a great distribution. And maybe Bill will try it out, but he's kind of settled on PC Linux OS right now. And that wraps it up for listener feedback, at least for this episode. We may have missed some. We kind of threw this thing together in a hurry. If there were any audio feedbacks that we missed, sorry, we will catch up on them.
In our next episode, Computer America. Until then, you can go to our articles and show notes at goinglinux.com.
Email us with comments, questions, and suggestions. And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the forums to leave your topic suggestion in the thread labeled Topic Suggestions. And that URL is forum.goinglinux.com.
Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations. If you want to support our efforts, click the Donate button while you are there.
Follow our show updates on Twitter and Identica. We are Going Linux, all one word. You can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the HTML5 or the Flash Player to play them right on the show notes page.
You can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. And our voicemail line is +1 904 468 7889. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.